I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we start off at the Monday Bash, and I'll be chatting with Akar Achow and Bert, and they are from...
The Pellegrino Wood-Fired Pizzas.
Absolutely. Lovely, lovely pizzas. And then from there, we go to Hillston.
Yep, and we take on the Lachlan River Walking Trail.
Absolutely, and tell all the listeners about the fabulous birds, the fauna, the fish in the river. It's a fabulous walk, and if you're in Hillston, it's definitely something you should take the time to do.
Yes.
Now, straight after that, we catch up with...
Malachi Quinn from the Campbelltown Joggers.
Now, joggers, when you think joggers, you automatically think people that are running.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
These guys are actually cyclists.
Yes.
And they're doing a 400-kilometre training cycle run.
All right.
To get them for this big, big trip they're doing in July. You got to listen to this one, listeners. It's going to be fabulous. And then after that, we're in Tasmania.
Yes, we are. We went to the CMCA rally at Campbelltown and we met up with Paul and Diane.
Now, Paul and Diane are a couple of brand new members. They've been a member of CMCA for about 2 years and a fabulous couple. They told us all about their adventures and also showed us through their motorhome.
Yes.
Now, apart from all these wonderful interviews, Lynn, we've also got a great selection of music as requested by the people we interview. So, Lynn, what do you think? On with the show.
G'day, viewers. Phil C here. This is Roaming Oz, and we're at the Pellegrino Wood Fired Pizza, and that is here at the Monday Bash. Now, the owner of the business, Akar, and Achow. Thank you so much, Achow. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure. And also, we can't forget this fabulous guy. It's Bert. How are you, Bert?
I'm doing well. Thank you very
much. All right, mate. Okay. Now, let's have a talk about the business. Akar, how long have you had Pellegrino Wood Fire Pizza?
We started in May 2020, so it will be almost 2 years now.
Almost 2 years. Whose idea? Was it yours or was it Achow?
I had the idea about the pizza, but we always wanted to have a business together. So.
Okay, so who is the better pizza cook? Would it be you, Achow, or...?
He was a better cook, but I learned and then I improved a lot. So I guess we are now the same level, but he can still cook more than me. So he can cook 14 pizzas in one go.
Oh my goodness, and what's your record?
Six?
In one go. Okay, so you're only obviously only getting paid a little bit of wages because you're only doing half his work. So whose idea was it to come out here to the Birdsville to the Monday Bash?
Actually, there was a girl working with us before, and then she told us about the event, and she put the application through.
Okay.
So we got accepted because of her,
Okay.
Her name is Annie,
Okay. Now, I understand, and I'm not sure, but you are the only mobile wood-fired pizza, is that correct?
There are a few others, but not in here in Mundi.
Okay.
So there is another one that has, I think, a gas oven.
Okay.
I believe we are the only one with wood fire. Yeah.
With wood fired pizza. Now, the wood fired pizza, you guys actually built it. Is that right? Was it? Who built it? Was that you, Akar, or Achow?
We built it together.
Okay.
Yeah, in the middle of winter.
Right.
In a shed. It was like minus 10 degrees. I felt like that.
Yeah.
So we built for over a week. We built the oven.
Okay.
Yeah, our first oven.
Because you guys come from Victoria, which is pretty cold. Okay.
Yeah, it was right in the middle of the winter.
All right.
And this actually is not even the first one we built. This one is our second one.
Okay.
So the original one is a smaller one. Yeah.
So they might be franchising. You might be franchising the business. What do you think?
We're looking forward to that.
Okay.
If anyone else wants to make some pizzas on the go, we are happy to give them a start.
Fabulous. So what sort of pizzas do you have? The range of pizzas, how many? How many would you say, Achow?
So we try to make it very, very simple.
Yes.
And we have, originally, we only have five different kinds of pizzas.
Okay.
So in festivals, we do only three different kinds of pizzas. Okay. So it covers margherita, which is cheesy pizza,
yep.
and covers a meat pizza we call Hansen.
Yes.
And Aka give it a name.
Hansen.
So, yeah, so it has salami, mushroom, and onion.
Okay.
And we got a veggie pizza just for people who likes veggie, but okay. obviously not many people.
Right.
So, so it covers everything.
I'm not a veggie pizza. I'm a Hansen pizza. Yeah. I'm into the Hansen stuff. Now, what about you, Bert? You're the van driver.
Yeah, well, I've been milking cows for 58 and a half years.
Yep.
And I've just retired.
Yes.
And I got mixed up with the pizza people here.
Yes.
I've got a truck license, which I'm drive a truck all around the place.
Yep.
And I'm just a all-round gopher.
Okay. So you're the gopher guy.
I'm the gopher guy.
Yeah, and you bring the pizza oven out here.
Yeah, yeah. I drive the truck.
Yep.
There's only two of us can drive a truck at the moment.
Okay.
And go all over Victoria and it's enjoying life.
Fabulous stuff, isn't it?
We are in New South Wales.
Are we?
Okay. Well, look, we're going to give you that one, okay?
Yeah.
Because the reason for it, Bert, is you obviously drive so many places, taking this wood-fired oven to so many different places and states. You don't actually know what state you're in at the moment, but that's all right.
I don't even know what day it is sometimes, because you're anywhere and everywhere,
yep.
you know? There's one... There's another one.
Yep.
You don't know where you are.
All right, we've got to wind this up, guys. Fabulous talking to you both. Good luck at the Monday Bash. We got two more days to go, and fabulous looking pizzas, especially the handsome one named after a car, right? Handsome Pizza Chef. And wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for chatting with us. Phil C, listeners, Roman Oz is the name of the show. We'll be back with more very soon.
Hello, I'm Giuseppe. I got something special for you. Ready? Uno, due, tre, quattro. When I was a boy, just about the eighth grade, Mama used to say, don't stay out late with the bad boys. Always shoot the pool. Giuseppe, going to flunk a school. Boy, it make me sick, all the thing I gotta do. I can't get no kicks, I always got to follow rules. Boy, it make me sick, just to make the lousy bucks. Got to feel like a fool, and the mama used to say all the time, what's the matter with you? Hey, gotta no respect. What do you think you do? Why you look so sad? It's not so bad, it's a nicer place. Ah, shut up your face. That's my mom, I can remember. Big accordion solo. Play that thing. Really nice. But soon come a day, gonna be a bigger star. Then I make a TV shows and the movies. Get myself a new car, but still I be myself. I don't want it to change a thing. Still a dance and a sing. I think about the mama, she used to say, what's the matter you? Hey, God, I know. Sad. It's a not so bad, it's a nicer place. Ah, shut up your face. Mama, she said it all of the time. What's the matter you? Hey, got no respect. What do you think you do? Why you look so sad? It's a not so bad, it's a nicer place. Ah, shut up your face.
That's my mom.
Hello everybody. That's out there on the radio and the TV land. Did you know I had the big hit the song in Italy with this? Shut up your face. I sing this song, all of my fans applaud, they clap their hands. But they're making me feel so good. You ought to learn that this song, it's real simple. See, I sing, what's the matter you? You sing, hey! Then I sing the rest. And then at the end, we can all sing, ah, shut up your face. Okay, let's try it really good.
Uno, two, three, one. What's the matter you? Hey! No respect.
Hey.
What do you think you do?
Hey.
Why you look so sad?
Hey.
It's a not so bad.
Hey.
It's a nicer place.
Hey.
Shut up your face.
That's a great. We can do the better this time. I bet. Hey,
what's the matter you?
Hey.
God, I no respect.
Hey.
What do you think you do?
Hey.
Why you look so sad?
Hey.
It's a not so bad.
Hey.
it's a nicer place. Ah, shut up in your face.
Okay, one time for mama, everybody.
What's the matter, you?
Hey!
Got no respect.
Hey!
What do you think you do?
Hey!
Why you look so sad?
Hey!
It's a not so bad.
Hey!
It's a nicer place. Ah, shut up in your face.
Phil C here, listeners, and we're in Hilston. Is that right, Lynn?
That's correct, Phil.
And we're at the Desathlon Park, which is along the Lachlan River Walking Trail. So what I want you to do if you come and have a look at this is enjoy the distinctive surroundings along the banks of the Lachlan River as it meanders through this part of Hilston, New South Wales. The Lachlan River Walking Trail is a circular route of 1,200 metres and starts as you cross the river from town via the Swing Bridge.
The bridge was initially constructed in 1993 as a local community project and has allowed both locals and visitors easy access to various parts of the Lachlan Riverside. The bridge was refurbished in 2019 as part of the Walking Trail project.
The park has been used for various recreational purposes since 1935. Now there have been family gatherings and events held in these surroundings over the past 80 years.
In the early 1990s, two local Hilston stalwarts, Des Shivers and Athol Palmer, were the driving force of the development of the picnic area and then was named Desathlon Park, named after them.
Okay, so Des and Athol carved large-scale fantasy figures such as dragons and spiders from the local river Red Gum, which surrounds along the trail.
These figures were painted in vivid bright colours and were the source of many a ghost story at twilight picnics alongside the river. The figures, along with the earlier bridge and swimming baths, have not survived the ravages of time and floods, but are incorporated for prosperity in the interpretive panels located along the walking trail.
So there you go, listeners, something to see if you're in Hilston. And as you can hear in the background, there are hundreds of corellas flying overhead. It's a nice place to bring the dog and just have a meander along the famous Lachlan River. So for anybody that's interested in fishing, swimming amongst the snags and deep holes of the Lachlan River in Hilston is the yellowbelly. Now that's a medium-sized yellow or gold-coloured fish found throughout the Murray-Darling River system.
The yellowbelly grows from 40 to 50 centimetres long, weighing in at around 4 to 5 kilos.
Now, yellowbelly are carnivorous, okay? So they feed on smaller fish and microcrustaceans, including yabbies, shrimps, frogs, small fish and aquatic invertebrates.
The yellowbelly is sometimes regarded as a moody fish by anglers, possibly due to its reluctance or even indifference of taking offered bait from the angler's hook. Maybe moody should be changed to smart.
Absolutely. Now, yellowbelly happily continue to trend of many native fish in the Murray-Darling system of being well long-lived. This longevity is a survival strategy in the increasing, though, Australian river environment, which ensures that most adults can participate in at least one exceptional spawning and recruitment event. Luckily, yellowbellies. These events are often linked to unusually wee La Nina events and may only occur every one or two decades. So you would have heard that plane flying overhead, folks, I'm sure, as well as all those corellas. As I said before, there's hundreds of them just circling above us and sitting in the branches above the beautiful trees along this walkway.
The sacred kingfisher, frequently seen along the banks of the Lachlan River, is the sacred kingfisher. She is 19 to 23 centimetres long, has a turquoise back, a turquoise blue rump and a tall buff white underpants with a broad cream collar.
Now, contrary to her name, she seldom eats fish, but usually hunts insects, small lizards, rodents, ground-dwelling beetles, and there are even a few reports of them eating small finches.
Usually the bird will sit on a low red gum branch and wait for prey to pass by. She swoops down to grab the prey and returns to a perch to eat.
Originally from the Western Pacific, the sacred kingfisher is called sacred, for she was said to be a holy bird for Polynesians who believed her to have control over the waves of the ocean.
For most of the year, sacred kingfishers are mainly solitary, pairing only for the breeding season.
Once a pair has mated, both members of the pair dig the nest, a burrow in a riverbank. A large empty branch or a termite mound by prime examples. The female lays about 5 eggs and both birds incubate the eggs and take care of the young.
The sacred kingfisher is an attractive member of the birdlife family who live along the Lachlan River here in Hillston. Pelicans are frequent visitors, sometimes even long-term residents of the Lachlan River here in Hillston. Pelicans are highly mobile, searching out suitable areas of water and an adequate supply of food. Pelicans can maintain in their air for 24 hours, capable of covering hundreds of kilometres.
Pelicans mainly eat fish here on the Lachlan, but they are opportunistic feeders and eat a variety of aquatic animals, including crustaceans, tadpoles and turtles. They readily accept handouts from humans, and a number of unusual items have been recorded in their diet. During periods of drought and extreme conditions, pelicans have been reported catching and eating other birds and ducklings. The birds are held underwater and drown before being eaten head first. Pelicans will also rob other birds of their prey. They are tough critters.
On a softer note though, a pelican with romance on his mind is a sight to behold. He always has his bill from side to side and ripples his bill pouch as he tries to impress the subject of his affection. Eventually, he will share the incubation of the eggs on a nest consisting of a few sticks scraped together on exposed ground. Whilst food is abundant and the weather is right, pelicans will continue to breed and raise the next generations of these spectacular birds.
Male pelicans are larger than females. The most characteristic feature of pelicans is the elongated bill with its massive throat pouch. The pelican's bill is 40 to 50 centimetres long and is larger in males than females. The pelican is a welcome visitor here in Hillston, providing an almost comic backdrop as they calmly go about their business on the Lachlan River.
Now, having what we've said about the kingfisher and the pelican, I should point out that along this walk so far we've not spotted either. All we seem to be surrounded with is hundreds of corallas. Now, the goanna is a member of the monitor lizard family and is a common sight around this area. He's a large lizard and can reach up to 2 metres or 7 feet in total length and weigh as much as 14 kilograms or 30 pounds in the old scale in weight. Even though being on the large side of the reptile family, goannas are adept climbers both in the hunt for feed or to escape potential dangers such as inquisitive walkers. An interesting feature of this impressive reptile is that he is only lizard to have a forked tongue.
Goannas are usually dark grey to dull bluish black in colour with numerous scattered cream coloured spots. The head is black and the snout is marked with prominent black and yellow bands extending under the chin and neck. The tail has narrow black and cream bands which are narrow and get wider towards the end of the tail.
Goannas like the ecosystem of the Lachlan River Walk. Trail and often shelter in trees and hollows and under fallen trees or large rocks. The goanna has a broad and varied diet which includes birds, insects, bird eggs, reptiles and small mammals. They will readily feed on carrion including roadkills, gorging themselves when the opportunity arises. After a large feast, they are able to go for many weeks without feeding again.
Even though the goanna is an imposing critter, he prefers to run away from danger, usually quickly up a tree, and doesn't present any danger to curious walkers. However, their eyesight isn't that great, and they have been known to mistake curious humans for trees and have attempted to climb them for safety, which can be painful and distressing for all.
Absolutely, folks. So if you do see a goanna, don't startle it. Just let it go about its business, and if you leave him alone, he's going to leave you alone.
Often seen as the yellow rosella among the river red gum foliage here on the Lachlan River, the colours are predominantly yellow with blue cheeks, a mainly blue tail, many blue wing feathers and a bright red frontal band above her beak. She grows to around 35 centimetres in length.
Her dietary needs are simple and usually found amongst the red gum foliage, and she doesn't often venture down on the ground to feed, unlike other rosellas.
Despite feeding on fruits and seeds, rosellas are not useful to the plants as seed spreaders because they crush and destroy the seeds in the process of eating them. Their diet often puts them at odds with our farmers, whose fruit and grain harvest can be damaged by the birds, which has resulted in a large number of rosellas being shot in the past. Rosellas will also eat many insects and their larvae, including termites, aphids, beetles, weevils, caterpillars, moths and water boatmen.
Now, from a breeding perspective, the yellow rosella extends her favours not only to other yellow rosellas in the district, she often readily interbreeds with other rosellas such as the crimson rosella wherever they may meet.
One of the other creatures in the area is the shingleback lizard or bog eye. He's a common sight here. He is short-tailed, slow-moving version of the blue-tongued skink. The bog eye has a heavily armoured body and can be found in various colours ranging from dark brown to cream.
He has a short, wide, stumpy tail and resembles its head and may confuse predators. The tail also contains fat reserves which are known upon during the hibernation in winter. The skink is an omnivore. He eats snails and plants and spends much of his time browsing through vegetation for food. He's often seen sunning on roadsides or other paved areas.
Sometimes he dares to cross busy roads thinking his heavy armour will protect him from predators. Sadly, he sometimes loses out to fast-moving cars.
So look out for our local bog-eyed lizard. He does a wonderful job in our local ecosystem and we like him being around. Now, one thing to enjoy is the shade of the River Red Gums as you move along the Lachlan River walking trail here in Hillston. The dominant tree species is along this part of the Lachlan River floodplain. It's the mighty River Red Gum or eucalypt.
River Red Gum is a common and widespread tree along watercourses over much of mainland Australia. It is frequently a dominant component to riparian communities, is in an iconic and important species for the Murray-Darling catchment, both ecologically and economically.
Eucalyptus camaldolensis is a perennial, single-stemmed, large bulb, medium-sized to tall tree to 30 metres tall, with some trees being recorded up to a lofty 45 metres. Some of these tree giants can live up to 500 years or sometimes up to as long as 1,000 years, Lenny.
River Red Gum forests are historically and culturally important to the traditional owners. The bark of the River Red Gum trees are often used for making canoes and shields and other artefacts.
River Red Gum is a versatile, durable and dense hardwood that is used for fencing, house construction, making furniture, decking and flooring because of its beautiful light to red dark heartwood. It is also excellent firewood. In fact, many Hillston locals believe that there isn't anything finer than forest red gum to keep the winter chill at bay.
Eucalyptus grow readily along the rivers of the Murray-Darling Basin, and as they do so well here in Hillston, they provide shade and cooling for all.
Another one for the anglers, Linny. In this particular river is the large Murray cod. He's a predatory fish which hangs around the outback rivers such as this Lachlan River here in Hillston. He's the apex predator, which means he's the big boss of the Murray River Darling River system.
The Murray cod are white to cream in colour on their belly surfaces. Their backs and flanks are usually yellowish green to green, overlain with heavier, darker green mottling. The effect is a marbled appearance, sometimes resembling a leopard's marking.
The Murray cod is a long-lived fish and has been recorded at 48 years of age. He mainly eats other fish and can measure up to 1.8 metres in length, but usually reaches around 80 centimetres to 100 centimetres. Top weight of the Murray cod is recorded at a whopping 113 kilograms. There is an urban myth that many Murray cod once grew to such a size that they couldn't be turned around in their rivers and had to wait for a flood event to swim back downstream to breed.
Being the boss fish of the river system means the Murray cod will eat almost anything smaller than himself and anything in his way. He has been known to eat ducks, cormorants, turtles, water dragons, snakes, mice and frogs. This is apart from his usual diet of all things fishy. He also helps out our riverine ecosystem by even chowing down on the dreaded European carp.
Now, the Murray cod was once the most common large native fish in Australia. Sadly, overfishing in the early 1900s saw rapid declines. in fish members which have never fully recovered. For example, in 1918, over 1 million kilograms of fish was caught and sent to the Melbourne markets alone. Gradually, fish numbers diminished until governments introduced protective measures to ensure the Murray cod's survival. There are now stringent controls on legal size, bag limits, as well as fingerling release programs across the whole Murray-Darling Basin.
River couva, a common tree species along this part of the Lachlan River floodplain, is the river couva or Acacia stenophylla. River couva is a frequent part of watercourse fringing vegetation in inland arid areas of eastern Australia, such as here in Hillston along the Lachlan River. A small tree with a somewhat weeping habit, it is tolerant of saline, alkaline and waterlogged soils and survives periodic flooding.
The river couva has a creamy yellow flowers and are often a feature of this part of the floodplain during the winter months. Pods of the river couva were often roasted in a fire, and the seeds, which are relatively large and nourishing, were eaten by the traditional owners, the Wiradjuri. The woods is likely to have been used for clubs and boomerangs.
River couva was used for fencing during the early development of the Hillston area, but is currently little used as a structural timber species. However, the timber is considered to have a great potential in the craft wood and specialty timber markets. Woodworkers prize the timber for its hard, close grain, which takes fine polish and is useful for handmade furniture making.
River couva is an important part of our riparian ecosystem and is increasingly used elsewhere for windbreaks, shelter, shade, mine site rehabilitation and soil stabilisation purposes.
Enjoy the shade and sometimes blossoms of the River couva as you move along the Lachlan River Walking Trail here in Hillston.
Oh, listeners, as I look up into the sky, I said hundreds, it looks like thousands flying above us. And what a din, what a sound. Absolutely incredible. Flying in formation. Now, as that flock of corellas disappear into the distance, the sound above our head was almost deafening. Entrance and exit points of the walk is via the Hillston Swing Bridge, which was constructed in 1993. Now give yourselves a good half an hour. It's only 1200 metres, just over a kilometre. There's a lot to read on the walk, and also just enjoy and take in the ambience of the walk. Pets are allowed, so your little four-legged fur baby is more than welcome to go along with you and just enjoy the whole place, the river. And, of course, those screaming, yelling corellas. This is Phil C, listeners.
And Lynn.
And we are still roaming Oz. Well, before we continue roaming Oz, listeners, we have to put a song up now. What do you think we should play, Lynn?
Oh, I don't know. What about Something Among the Gum Trees? Well, who's that?
Johnny Williamson, Home Among the Gum Trees.
That's it, yes.
All right, stick around for that, listeners, and we'll be back with more roaming Oz.
Sing it for Steve now. I've been around the world a couple of times or maybe more. Seen the sights, I've had delights on every foreign shore. But when my mates all ask me the place that I adore, I tell them right away. What do we tell them? Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of palm trees. A sheep, a tulip, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. You can see me in the kitchen, cooking up a roast, or Vegemite on toast. Just you and me, a cup of tea, later on we'll settle down and go out on the porch and watch the possums play. Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of plum trees. A sheep, a tuak, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. There's a Safeway's up the corner and a Woolies down the street,
And a brand new place they've opened up and they regulate the heat. But I trade them all tomorrow for a little bush retreat with a kookaburra's call. Give me a home among the gum trees, where life's a plum tree. A sheep or two, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. Some people like their houses with fences all around. Others live in mansions and some beneath the ground. But me, I like the bush, you know, with rabbits running round and a pumpkin vine out the back. By yourselves now. Give me a home among the gum trees, with lots of pine trees. A sheep or two, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair. One more for stay now. Lots of plum trees, a sheep or two, a kangaroo, a clothesline out the back, veranda out the front, and an old rocking chair.
Oh, well, there you go, listeners. Without a doubt, one of my most favourite singers, Mr. Johnny Williamson. And a great song, Home Among the Gum Trees. Now, listeners, we are going to continue on with Malachi Quinn.
Oh, welcome back, listeners. Phil C here from Roman Oz, and I'm with Malachi Quinn, and he is from the Campbelltown Joggers. Now, you might think joggers running, but actually these guys are bicycle riders, aren't you? You're cyclists.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so tell us all about what you're doing out here.
Now, well, actually, we've gone from Griffith to Mount Hope,
okay,
and then back into Griffith. So we're doing 440Ks on the bike,
okay,
and we're doing it to prepare ourselves for a ride from Darwin to Adelaide in July.
Darwin to Adelaide in July.
Yeah.
Okay,
so it's about 3,000Ks.
Okay, so we are actually at Hillston.
Correct.
Now Hillston to Griffith, where you started. How far is that?
106Ks.
So you did 106Ks today in the saddle.
Yeah.
And that was roughly, what would you say, about 8 hours in the saddle?
Yeah, what time did we leave, guys?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
So 8 o'clock.
We got back
4 o'clock.
8 o'clock till 4 o'clock, yeah?
Yeah.
So what's that, 8 hours?
It's about that, yeah.
You didn't ride for 8 hours, though, did you? You had a stop along the way.
We had a couple of stops, yeah, but pretty much, I mean, when you're doing that sort of mileage, you've got to keep moving, so...
Okay.
Yeah, we had a couple of breaks, but we got the mileage in.
All right. Now how many's in your crew? We got a few gentlemen here.
I think we've got a few ladies. I think we've got about 10.
10 in the crew for this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's about 3 or 4 ladies.
It's a lot of them are couples as well. You know, husband and wife, sort of thing. So we've known each other for a long time.
Right.
Because we were joggers. We used to be runners. Before we were cyclists.
Okay.
So we've known each other for probably a lot of this, 20, 30 years.
So why did you get out of jogging and get into cycling?
There wasn't a lot of choice, because when your knees seize up or become arthritic,
right,
you can either give it in because you can't run, or you can find something else you can do. So we found cycling is easier on the body.
Yep.
And you can do, we were distance runners, like marathons, half marathons. So with the cycling, you can go out there and you can do 100Ks. You can do eight hours in the saddle, you know.
Okay.
And I guess that's what we're looking for, not a 5-minute sort of exercise, more a...
Long distance.
Exactly.
Endurance.
Exactly.
All right. So you're on the road for how long with this trip? This is a warm-up.
A week.
So a week of cycling?
Yeah.
Pretty much?
Yeah.
And this is a warm-up to what?
To cycling from Darwin to Adelaide in July.
And how far is it from Darwin to Adelaide?
It's about 3,300 kilometres.
And how long do you think you're going to need for a trip like that?
Well, we're going to take about 40 days, we reckon.
40 days?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Plus a few stops here and there. You know?
Oh, I would hope so.
And a few sherbets along the way.
And hopefully a good backward wind to help you along.
It'd help.
Is it very hilly country where you're going,
no,
or where you've been?
It's
or?
Flat, and that's why we're cycling in this area, because it's so flat, straight roads. Okay. You know, you're going to have that for hour on hour. So when we do the Darwin to Adelaide, mm-hmm. it'll be the same thing, flat as a tack, straight roads. A bit boring, to be honest with you,
okay.
but that's part of the challenge.
Okay.
And we can find similar conditions here from Griffith to where we are today.
Which tonight. Is, of course, Hilston.
Correct.
Hilston.
I'm glad you threw that in.
Oh, I had to. I had to think of it. I had to look, though, because I've got to tell you. So the gentleman that just turned the music on, he drives your...
Yeah, he's our support
he's
man.
He's your support man. Yeah. He's got
he's
the vehicle.
Our roadie.
He's the roadie.
He's the roadie.
All right, okay. And what about if you have injuries? Does he, like, bandage you up and...
No, we wouldn't allow him to do that.
You wouldn't
no.
allow him to bandage you up?
No.
All right.
He's good at providing a drink. But
okay.
We have beer or two. But we don't have too many. We've not had too many accidents or things like that.
No,
not that it doesn't happen, but we've been lucky so far, and we take our time.
And you got repairs. I noticed this gentleman here. He's sorting out his wheel and putting on a new tire or a new inner tube.
He's doing his best.
Right? Uh huh.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. Sorry, oh well, that's the support crew. Okay. He's come along to offer us a Band-Aid, all right.
Yeah, so you do get some mechanical problems.
Of course.
But obviously you try and prepare yourself for that, and hopefully... Because I guess if you're on, like, particularly mountain from Darwin to Adelaide, there's no backup.
No.
You've got to be able... You've got to be self-sufficient.
I understand.
Essentially, right? There's no shops to pop into and stuff like that, so...
Yep.
That's what we aim to do.
So you carry, obviously, in the support vehicle, which you're towing a trailer, you've obviously got tyres, spare wheels...
Yeah.
I suppose... Saddle, maybe not.
Not so much that, but certainly the big problems are tyres and the inner tubes.
Well, obviously they wear out, obviously.
Yeah, and you get punctures.
You get punctures.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's easier to just throw it out than repair it, I guess.
Well, sometimes it is, because sometimes Eric's struggling at the moment trying to fix his, but he didn't just pick up one puncture, he got about six or seven at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Mario. So he's got a bigger challenge to fix that.
So the whole tyre is a throw-out.
Probably ratchet.
Yeah, absolutely throw it out. All right, so can I ask you how old you are?
Yeah, 74.
74. And are you the...
Don't say it like that.
Well, I'm thinking... No, I'm saying...
If it was 94, then you can say 94.
No, but I mean 74, riding a bicycle for 3,500 kilometres on that next... That's quite a feat. That's a feat, don't you think? I mean, I'm saying that with the utmost respect.
Well, we're just talking about it now. We've still got to do it, you know. It's easy talking
about
it.
I've got every faith in you. I can see the support crew, the Band-Aid man, sitting there smiling, wondering why he didn't get picked for this chat. So what's the average age then of the riders?
I suppose it's around about 61,
68. Okay. Comes from 68. One of the ladies, so 68 is the average age.
Yeah.
What's the oldest member of your group?
Me, unfortunately.
You, unfortunately. Yeah, okay, I'll take that one back. Yeah. What's the youngest member of your group? Kevin's
34. What up,
mate? You're 58. See, cycling suits her. She doesn't look 58. You don't look 70. Did you say 70? 74?
74.
Wow, see, it's fitness. It's all... He's an actor? He doesn't act his age, no. I can tell that when you all pointed to him and said, he's the biggest clown. But you're also the secretary of the group captain?
No, we don't have any of that sort of official stuff.
So what's your position? You just...
We haven't.
Always in the rear following
ones? No, just cyclists. We're just a group of... We're not a club as such.
Okay.
I suppose we are.
Well, you said the Joggers Club.
The Joggers Club,
Campbelltown,
that's right.
Joggers Club.
But as I say, we're kind of all has-been joggers.
Okay.
So now we're just moving on to something else.
Has-been. That means you were famous at some stage.
No. We were just... But we did do a lot of half marathons, that sort of stuff. Long-distance stuff. So they in our time, we've been good in our day, but We're just moving on
gracefully. And this other gentleman here directly opposite us, he said, what's his name, this chap here?
Ted.
Now, Ted said if you add all our ages up together, what was the answer to that question, Ted? If you add everybody's age up together?
What's the average?
Bloody lot.
It's a bloody lot, yeah.
It'll be over 500.
Be over 500.
700.
Is anybody there for 720? It's not an auction. No, it's a chat with some really fun, interesting people. Look,
I wish you well.
Thank you.
I hope you do really, really well. Have you got anything else coming up other than this Adelaide trip? Or
no, we think that's enough.
It'll be enough for this year, but you're always going to be doing it, obviously.
Well,
which one?
Oh, yeah, we did France a couple of years ago. We did from Saint-Malo in the north of France down to Nice in the south. So that was 1,700 kilometres we did.
France is pretty hilly?
Oh, it's really hilly.
Really rugged,
really,
aren't you?
It is a struggle. I mean, compared to this, which is flat as anything, it's like every day it was a challenge. Yeah.
So what would be your average speed?
I can tell you, today it was probably 22.4 kilometres.
22.4, very precise, isn't it? 22.4.
Yeah, well, I'll have a little readout which tells me so.
So you're not going to get booked for speeding?
No.
And if we stand here and drink many more of these, you might get arrested for being over the affluence of Inca Hole. What do you reckon?
That's easy for you to say.
It is indeed. Mate, thank you so much for
your
time. It's been a wonderful conversation with you and your group. Thank you all for taking the time to chat with us. Now, I'm going to play you a song. It's got to be Aussie. Who's your favourite band?
He's the maestro. Midnight Oil we're going to play.
You're going to play Midnight Oil?
That's the
song you just heard.
The song we just heard.
Dead Heart. All right.
Dead Heart by Midnight Oil.
We're going to the Dead Heart.
We're going to the Dead Heart, listeners, by Midnight Oil. Stick around for more Roman Oz straight after that.
Yeah.
well, there you go, listeners. Going to the Dead Heart by Midnight Oil. And that was requested by the Campbelltown Joggers. And that conversation, of course, Malachi Quinn. Thank you so much for your time, Mel. Hope you enjoyed the song.
7th Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. G'day listeners, Phil C here. This is Roman Oz and Lynn. Tell us where we are.
We're still at the Campbelltown Rally and we're with Paul and Diane, who are CMCA members.
G'day everyone, how are you going?
Hello everybody, hello listeners.
Okay, so first of all, Paul, tell us how long you've been a member of CMCA?
2 years.
Only a couple, yeah.
Yeah, right. 2 years, I think, yeah.
With Green, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so what made you join?
Our friends, Sally and Mike, they come every year, so we thought we'd tag along with them.
Yeah.
And so we joined the club, and we've been members for a couple of years, and this is our second rally.
So what do you get from the rallies? Because I want to point out, we've spoken to all the organisers, all the volunteers, now we're speaking to the people who actually come to the rallies. So Diane, what do you get from the rallies?
We like to spend time with our friends, and we're always up for making new friends, and that's pretty easy to do here. Everyone's got a motorhome or a caravan or what they call a whiz bang. I didn't know what a whiz bang was until I came to a rally, so
oh, right.
Found out what that is. And there's activities here, and yeah, you learn stuff, do stuff, relax, get to use your motorhome.
And meet new people.
Happy hour.
Haven't been to a happy hour yet.
Oh, haven't you?
Happy hours at home.
Oh, right.
but you guys play ukuleles, is that right?
Yes.
And you both sing a bit and you love to line dance.
We're square dancers, so we're staunch square dancers, but okay. We do a little bit of square dancing, do round dancing as well.
But and line dancing.
At this rally, they've got a session of line dancing, so I went along to that. It was a hoot.
Yeah. Okay, so I would have thought happy hour would have been at your motorhome because you both play the ukulele and I heard you doing a little bit of singing earlier, Diane, so you must do a bit of entertainment of your own at happy hour.
We entertain ourselves.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Not for the public.
So I get I get the idea we're not going to get a song from them, Lynn. They're not going to pull out the ukulele and start to entertain us.
No, they're not.
No, okay. Fair enough.
So you've recently purchased a motorhome?
Yes, we've had our motorhome for about 9 months now.
Yeah.
It was an older motorhome, so we've been spending a lot of time refurbishing it and getting it up to scratch.
Yeah.
And it's coming up pretty good at the moment.
That's good. And you're going to travel in it?
Oh, definitely, yes. We're both retired and working toward travelling as much as possible.
As much as possible in Tasmania, or are you going to hit the mainland and do some big trips?
Oh, both. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. We've got family sharing the house with us so they can house sit while we're away for as long as we like.
Yep. Okay.
And so we don't have to worry about the security of a house or anything. Mm-hmm. And yes, we'll be travelling around the mainland as much as possible.
We had two mainland trips booked this year and one already for next year.
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Ah, so you're going...
Taking the motorhome.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're going mainland this year?
Twice.
Yes.
We're twice already.
Heading off to South Oz in early this year and then later on Brisbane and Sydney and so on later on in the year. Okay. And next year it'll be heading to Darwin.
Jeez.
Wonderful.
Probably do the lap, go up the east coast, come down the west coast.
Yeah. So when you say the lap, are you just going to hit the road and get home when to Tasmania at the end of the lap, or?
Oh, we'll plan it, as in how many months we'll be away.
Right. You have to book the boat.
Yeah.
That's just the thing with living in Tassie. You've got to get across that puddle.
Yes.
And you have to book that well and truly in advance, almost a year in
advance.
Also
do your return. You need to keep an eye out for your return as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
So that you can get
so
back.
It has to be well planned.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Very good.
So what did you get from this particular rally here at Campbelltown?
Friends of you two.
Oh, you've met us, okay, and I must admit we enjoy your company as well.
But what about the rally? Because there's been so much going on. Now, they did this thing called disc bowls. Now, how'd you go on the disc bowls?
I wanted to go and play cards in the other pavilion, but just to humour Sally and Mike, I had a game with Sally and we won, and then we won again, and then we won again.
So
I missed out on cards.
Okay, but you won. We won all these competitions.
Plans to lose very, very quickly, so we wouldn't be standing out in the sun all day long, but it kind of went wrong and we kept winning.
Okay.
Yeah, so in the ladies' triples, Sally and I and another lady, we won silver, and then in the mixed triples, Paul won a silver. So Sally's got two silver medals. I've got one. Paul's got one. We've all got one.
Hey. You did well out of this one. So you got your presentation coming up shortly.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, you've only been playing a little while. Have you got any strategy or what's your technique like? I mean, for any other fellow disc bowl players, what should they be doing?
No, look at the little kitty up the top there and then just chuck the disc and hope it goes somewhere.
And try not to hit the umpire.
And it's more a CMCA game.
It seems to be. I bought a set of disc bowls for myself and got it out for the grandies, but they didn't seem very interested in it.
I can relate to that.
As a group thing, it's pretty easy to play and the rules are pretty easy to pick up. And, it's a bit of fun. I play a bit of indoor bowls, so it was pretty easy to pick up. The rules are sort of similar.
Yeah, I just watched the grand final there and, it does seem pretty easy. You just got to make sure you get closest to the white ball.
Yeah.
Or else if your opponent's close, you kick them out.
See, it sounds very easy, Lynn, but you're like 10-pin bowling. All you got to do is knock down those 10 pins. But how flaming hard is it? That's what
I
reckon.
It looks easy.
You know? So what about other things other than rallies? Do you do, because there's 10 or 12 chapters in Tassie, is that right, Lynn?
I think there's
eight chapters. So you're not a member of any chapter.
No, we're not a member of chapter.
Are you considering or no? Tie you down too much?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
We want to be free to go camping where and whenever we like.
Yeah.
It might become a thing in the future. I've looked a couple up and they sound all right. It might be worth joining and just seeing what they do. And then you don't have to go along to the events that they organise. But then you might, 6 months down the track, you might think, I'd like to do that, but if you're not a member, you don't know it's on.
So. That's true, and that's exactly right.
I think membership would be quite a reasonable thing to do.
Fantastic.
And also, too, when you're on the mainland, you can look in the back of the Wanderer and you can see when, if you're in a certain area, you can see when there's something gone, you can always tag along and meet other people that way, other fellow travellers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's also CMCA camping sites that you have access to as well.
Yes, which are discounted. Mm. And we found out on the last people we interviewed that if you're a member of CMCA, and this might interest you, you get 5% discount on the Spirit of Tasmania. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
There you go. And they charge you an arm and a leg and your unborn grandchild to come across on that thing. So
they mention when you go to book that you're a CMCA member, and you should get a discount.
You might get to keep the unborn grandchild. Still costs you an arm and a leg. Okay. So you've been here now for a couple of days. You're not staying right to the end of the 5-day rally. You've enjoyed yourself, obviously.
Mm.
And you're going to be going to other rallies, do you think?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yep.
And the weather's been perfect, apart from today with all that wind.
Absolutely brilliant weather here.
It's still been a gorgeous day. It's not cold, it's not wet.
No, exactly. Yeah. Perfect day.
Summer.
Perfect day. And the good thing too, listeners, if you see this chap on the road, he looks a bit like Kenny Rogers. He's actually a retired mobile mechanic. So very reasonable rates charged. Okay.
He likes a Bundy and Coke.
A Bundy and Coke.
Bundy and Coke.
Well, who's driving the motorhome home? Will that be you, Diane?
We do share the driving, but Paul's the driver.
Okay, because we can have a bit of what do they call it here in Tasmania? Cocaine champagne, sugar cane champagne is what they call Bundaberg rum, apparently.
Never heard that.
Oh, no, neither had I. No. Until I found out. A chap said to me, "So what do you drink?" And I said, "I love Bundaberg rum." And he said, "Oh, sugar cane champagne, boy, eh?" And I thought, I've never heard that.
No.
So there you go. Lynn, anything else you want to ask him?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered a lot.
Covered the lot? Gosh, yeah. We've only 8 minutes. We normally keep him on the line for 20. I can't believe this. Well, you're going to go and pick up your awards a little bit later on. You got the awards from the
disc bowls.
And then you'll be sticking around a little bit later on.
They're heading off because they're going to a square dance.
We have a square dance function tonight in Westbury, which is a fundraiser for prostate cancer.
That's important.
And then tomorrow we've got a square dance car rally. And then on Monday we've got a square dance learning lesson at the University of the Third Age.
Oh, well.
So, fairly busy few days.
Yeah, you're going to be very busy.
So I think what
they're
trying to...
Get those dancing shoes on.
I think what they're trying to tell us, Lynn, is there are a couple of squares.
I don't think so. Now, finish off, can we play a song for you? An Aussie song?
It's got to be Aussie, guys. Anything, any genre, anything at all.
Like the Vegemite song, the Vegemite sandwich.
The Newcastle song.
The Newcastle song?
The Newcastle song. Bob Hudson.
Bob Hudson.
Oh.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Quite a while.
Yeah. It's a classic track, and it's going to be a pleasure for me to put it on. I know the listeners will love it, because we don't play it often, but it's been fabulous chatting with you both. That's Paul and Diane at... Do you want me to use your surname?
Ashton.
Paul and Diane Ashton. The Ashton Circus. Owners of the circus.
In town.
And it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. And
thanks,
it's been
Bill.
A pleasure meeting you both.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you.
There you go, listeners. We'll be back with more I'm in Oz straight after Bob Hudson, the Newcastle song.
Don't you ever let a chance go by, oh Lord.
Up in Newcastle, they have very strange mating habits. All the young women of Newcastle walk down the main street, which is called Hunter Street, for reasons that will become obvious later on in the song. All the young men of Newcastle drive down Hunter Street in their hot FJ Holdens with chrome-plated grease nipples and double-reverse overhead twin-cam door handles. They're sitting eight abreast in the front seat, and they lean out the window and say real cool things to the sheilas on the footpath, like, g'day. And every now and then, of course, one of the young ladies thinks to herself, she thinks,
Don't you ever let a chance go by, oh Lord, don't you ever let a chance go by. Don't you ever let a chance go by, oh Lord, don't you ever let a chance go by.
Anyway, there was this mob of blokes driving down Hunter Street in the front seat of the hot FJ with chrome-plated grease nipples and twin overhead foxtails. And the coolest of them all, who got to sit near the window, was young Normie. They pulled up outside the Parthenon milk bar, and standing outside the Parthenon was this beautiful-looking Sheila.
Oh! Oh!
Said young Normie, who'd come top in his class in English.
Oh! He said.
So he leaned out the window and he said real suave, like, he said, g'day. This 9-foot-tall Hell's Angel came out of the Parthenon milk bar, looked at Norm and said, oh, what are you? Norm said, what are you? Bloke on the footpath said, you want to go, do you, mate, eh? Norm said, yeah, you want to go, mate. Bloke on the footpath said, yeah, I'll have a go. Norm said, do you know who you're picking? The bloke on the footpath said, nah, who am I picking? Norm said, you find out, mate. And all of a sudden there was a break in the traffic. And as any young Newcastle lad knows, when you're getting monstered by a 9-foot-tall Hell's Angel, and there's a break in the traffic.
Don't you ever let a chance go by, oh Lord, don't you ever let a chance go by. Don't you ever.
Hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.